We learned a couple of Mishnahs ago that the completing part of the process of creating an earthenware oven is when the oven is heated up for the first time, at which point the clay which surrounds the oven, and whose purpose is ultimately to keep the heat within the walls of the oven as much as possible. So when the oven is heated up, then the clay affixes itself to the sides, to the walls of the oven, and become one, and harden as well. And it's only from that point onwards that the oven is considered to be a completed kli that can become tomei. What happens if the oven was heated up by a fire from the outside, instead of the fire coming from the inside like it regularly does, where the wood and the fuel is placed at the bottom of the oven itself, within its walls, or if the oven was heated up without the owner's knowledge or intent, a fire started underneath the oven and ended up heating it up, even though the owner himself didn't light the fire, he didn't want the fire to be there, or if the oven got heated up whilst it was still in the craftsman's house or shop. In other words, the owner had given the oven over to a craftsman, or it had never left the craftsman's shop, and the intention was to continue to increase the size of the oven and to develop it. So I might have thought that even though it got heated up now, it's not considered to be the completion of the processing of the oven, because their intention is anyway to not end the processing of the oven, to add on to it. The Mishnah says, nevertheless, since the end of the day, the oven is at least 4 tefachim, and as soon as it is heated, it becomes fully fit to use as a regular oven. In all of these cases, tomei, the oven will be able to become tomei from that point onwards as a kli whose processing is considered to be completed. And indeed, Maisa Shenofla the Lake Batanari Kfar Signa, there was a story that occurred that a fire broke out in the ovens of Kfar Signa, a particular village, a particular town, and a fire started in a building, in a shop, where there were a number of ovens. And all the ovens were in the craftsman's shop, which means that they were all waiting for completion, waiting for further developing. And yet, they were all heated up from the outside, and it was all without the owner's intention. So essentially, this is a mixture of all of the three cases of the Mishnah. Uvomaisa liYavne, and the story came to Yavne, where the Beis Din was, the Sanhedrin, the main Beis Din, the main court of the Jewish people, with Timon Rabban Gamliel. And Rabban Gamliel ruled that those ovens are able to become tomei as per the laws learnt in this Mishnah. Mishnah Hey, Musaf HaTanur, a added part of the oven at the top, that is to say, clay that was added to the top of the tanur, the top of the oven, thus raising its rim. And the reason why a person would add this to the top of the oven is to keep the heat inside the oven further. However, since the main purpose of the oven is to bake bread, and as we've explained, the way they would bake bread is by placing the dough onto the walls of the oven themselves, and using the heat of the walls, the oven walls themselves, to bake the bread, as opposed to the heat of the airspace of the oven. Now, adding a rim of clay at the top helps to preserve the heat within the airspace of the oven, but it doesn't increase the heat of the walls of the oven in any way. And because of that, the Mishnah says, Musaf HaTanur Shel Balabatim, this added layer of clay, which is added by a person who lives at home and he doesn't use the oven for professional use as a baker, but it's the regular oven that he uses at home, which means that he only uses it for baking bread. And since the added layer of clay at the top doesn't help him to bake bread at all, tohar, it is not able to become tomei, and is not considered to be an extension of the rest of the oven, the rest of the kli. Mishonach toimim, however, an added layer of clay which is added to the top of a oven used by bakers, since a baker would not only use the oven for bread, but he would also occasionally use it to roast meat, by placing meat on a spit, on a large stick, and placing the stick horizontally on top of the rim of the oven, and he would only do this if there was indeed a layer of clay on the top of the rim of the oven. Then he would place the stick on top of that layer of clay. He wouldn't place the stick directly on top of the oven, and in this case, the layer of clay is assisting in the function and purpose of the oven. It's allowing the oven to be used for meat. And therefore the Mishnah says, Tomei can become Tomei Meneishu Soichlo Zashfud, because the baker uses it to support his spit, this stick which has the meat on top of it. And although that's not the main function of the oven, since the oven is also used for this, that's enough to consider the clay at the top to be assisting in the function of the oven, and therefore it would be considered a yad, a extension of the main kli, which assists in the function of the kli, and therefore can also become tomei together with the rest of the kli. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says that since the main purpose of the oven is for baking bread, it's not enough that the addition, that the yad, assists in the function of cooking the meat. It has to contribute to the main function of the oven, which is for baking bread. And therefore, the only reason why adding clay does make it into a yad that can become tameh is because the baker uses that additional height of the rim for the actual baking of the bread in a case where he's desperate. If he has lots of customers and the oven is full of dough attached to the sides, to the wall, the inside walls of the oven, then he would occasionally, if need be, place dough also on the inner wall of this rim at the top, which would also have a certain level of heat and be able to at least start to bake the dough. Okay, on a similar note, Musaf Hayoyo Shel Shulki Zesim, the added layer of clay which is placed around the rim at the top of pots used for boiling olives, in order to extract their oil as much as possible. The olives were boiled in these pots, and the pots themselves were not made out of earthenware, but sometimes they would add a layer of earthenware at the top in order to increase the size of the pots so that they would be able to place more olives to a higher height inside the pot. So when you add this rim at the top, you're really adding something which will definitely contribute to the function of the pot, and therefore tameh. That rim can become tomei together with the rest of the kli because it is serving the same function. Vishal tzaboim, however, the earthenware, the layer of clay which is added to the top of the rim of a pot used by dyers to heat up the dyes and to boil them, the reason why this rim is added is not in order to increase the area inside of the pot that can be used for boiling the dyes. Quite the opposite. If the dyes were placed within the area of the rim where there was clay, so the clay would actually ruin the dyes. Rather, the purpose of this rim was in order to protect, and really for safety purposes, in case the dyes would begin to overflow. So the rim would make the dyes stay within the airspace of the pot itself, and not overflow. But it wasn't actually used to increase the area of the pot that could be used for boiling the dyes, and therefore it's not serving the same function at all. So it would never gain the status of a yad, an extension of the main kli that serves the same purpose, or contributes to the main function of the kli itself, and therefore tahar, it cannot become tameh, because it does not become a yad. Mishnah Vov, Tanush Nosen Bei Ofer Ad Chetzioi, a oven, again we're talking about the oven which is shaped like a cone, it's more narrow at the top, and it reaches very, very high temperatures. And as we mentioned at the beginning of the perek, this oven didn't have a base at the bottom, and therefore, it's considered to be an earthenware utensil that can't hold things. Its bottom is the ground itself, it's placed on top of the ground. Nevertheless, we learn from the Pesukim themselves in the Torah that this is one exception to the general rule that an earthenware utensil can only become tomei if it can hold things. An oven which cannot hold things can nevertheless become tomei. So if a person, Tanush Nosen Bei Ofer Ad Chetzioi, an oven which was filled with earth at the bottom, which means the earth was piled up on top of the ground on the bottom half of the oven, such that half of the oven now is filled with earth. Midei Raisa, according to the Torah, that whole area now stops being a part of the oven, and therefore it can never become tomei. And only if there is a height of 4 tefachim above that would the part above it be considered to be an oven still and become tomei. However, because the entire oven still has the appearance of an oven, at least from the outside, and at the end of the day it's very similar to a regular oven, midrabbonon, the bottom half of the oven, which no longer functions as an oven which can be used for baking bread, it can become tomei midrabbonon. However, in almost all cases where something becomes tomei midrabbonon, it does not become tomei on the same level as a tumah midoraisa, an impurity which the Torah considers to be impure. And the main reason for this, in short, is because there are certain more holy food items, such as the meat of korbanos, sacrifices, that if they become tomei, then there is a mitzvah to burn them. However, these holy foods, before they become tomei, it's forbidden to burn them and destroy them because they have that level of holiness. Now, if the level, if tumah midrabbanon had exactly the same laws as tumah midoraisa, tumah which the Torah considers to be tomei, then people would end up confusing it, and they would think that something which is tumah midrabbanon is really tumah midoraisa, and they would end up burning the meat of korbanos, which became tomei from an impurity, which is only tumah midrabbanon, and this would be forbidden because midoraisa, the meat of the korban, is not yet tomei, and therefore it cannot be burnt. And because of this, whenever midrabbanon something is tomei, they made the laws slightly different in order for people to be able to realize that it's only tomei midrabbanon, and they won't come to burn the meat of korbanos, which becomes tomei only on a midrabbanon level. So the Mishnah says, if a source of impurity touches the inside of the oven, which means on the top half of the oven, then even me'ofer olamaton, the area of the oven from where the earth ends and lower down, meaning the bottom half of the oven which is filled up with earth, mitami b'maga, would become tomei when the source of impurity touches the inside of the top half of the oven. Since in that case, anyway, the oven is becoming tomei at the top half, so the bottom half becomes tomei with it. However, if the tumah only entered into the airspace, the source of impurity only entered into the airspace of the top half of the oven, so then, in order that there be a difference between tumah midrabbanon and tumah midoraisa, in that case, the bottom half of the oven would not become tomei. On the other hand, we offer a malon from the earth upwards, the top half of the oven, which is still functioning as an oven, mitami ba'aver, that can obviously become tomei, even if the source of impurity only enters into the airspace of that top half of the oven. Continues the Mishnah, Nasone al pi habur al pi adus, if somebody places the oven on top of a pit, or on top of a dus, which is a kind of structure above the ground, which functions a very similar purpose to a pit. Be as it may, he rests the oven on top of this pit, and since the oven didn't have a bottom, if you were to light a fire inside the pit, then the fire would be able to heat up the oven itself. So he places the oven on top of it, and in order to hold it in place, v'nosan shom even, he places a stone on the side of the oven. This is just showing that the size of the bottom of the oven fits very well with the size of the top of the pit. Just that the pit is a tiny bit larger, and that part is filled up with a stone. And this way the heat doesn't really escape via the sides of the pit. In such a case, Rabbi Yehuda says, im masik melamaton, if he's able to light a fire at the bottom of the pit, on the floor of the pit, v'unisak melamalon, and the oven above it is heated up to the minimum temperature for it to be able to become tomei, then indeed tomei, the oven would become tomei when it is heated up like that, because we view the floor of the oven as being the floor of the pit. It's now really all part of one structure. However, if the pit is very deep, such that if you were to light a fire on the floor of the pit, it wouldn't be able to heat up the oven above it, then even if you manage to light the fire somehow in the middle of the height of the pit, you manage to raise the fire higher up, that would not make the oven tomei, because we don't view the oven as being part of the same structure as the pit. We don't view the pit as being the floor and the bottom of the oven, because from the floor, it's not able to heat up the oven, only from in the middle of its height. And if we're not able to view the floor of the pit as being the floor of the oven, so they don't connect, and the oven would not be able to become tomei, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's learned from Pesukim that an oven can only become tomei if it's attached to the ground, which is fascinating. In general, something which is attached to the ground can never become tomei. Specifically with regards to an oven, the Torah said that it can become tomei. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's taken a step further, that an oven can only become tomei if it's attached to the ground, and if the ground is considered to be the floor of the oven. On the other hand, v'achachom say, hoil v'husak m'kol makoim, if the oven is heated up from any place, even if it's not from a fire which rests literally on the floor of the pit, tomei, the oven can still become tomei, because according to the Chachomim, even if the oven is not attached to the ground, it's able to become tomei. Mishnah Zayin, Tanusha Nitmo, a oven which becomes tomei, Ketam Atayin Oisoi, how can we purify it? Earthenware kelim cannot be purified in a mikveh by dipping them into a body of water, only by breaking them. So the question is, how much do we have to break the oven in order for it to be tahar? according to the first opinion of the Mishnah, Chol Kol Shloisha, one has to split it into three different parts, and that's referring to the oven itself, not the clay around the oven. The oven itself was surrounded by clay. So the first Mishnah says the oven itself has to be split into three, such that no part of the oven still has the majority of the circumference of the oven. If it has the majority, we'll see in the second half of the Mishnah that could mean that it would retain the status of a kli. But if none of the parts of the oven have a majority of the original circumference, so then each of those parts would no longer be able to become tameh. But you have to do a bit more than that, because if there's still a full layer of clay around it, then that keeps the three parts together. And so vigorous at tefila, one needs to peel away the clay which coats the oven around it. It needs to be peeled off all the way until the bottom, until the ground. Because otherwise the clay would just hold those three pieces in place. Rabbi Meir says, he does not need to peel away the clay which surrounds the oven. And even the part of the oven that he does break, he doesn't have to do Ad Sheba Oretz until the very bottom of the oven. Rather, it's enough to break the inside part of the oven without the clay which surrounds it. And he needs to do so until the part remaining at the bottom of the oven, which isn't broken, is a height of less than 4 tefachim, the minimum height which an oven needs to be. Rabbi Shimon says that not only does the entire oven need to be broken and the clay peeled, but as well as that, the clay needs to be removed and the three pieces be distanced from each other in order to show that it is really broken. Now what happens if somebody split the oven not into three pieces, but into two pieces? Echad gadol, echad katan. One of the halves of the oven is larger and one is smaller. Hagadol tomei. The larger half is tomei because it is the majority of the original oven. And so it still carries with it the significance of the entire oven. V'akatan tohar. Whereas the smaller half, which does not have the majority, would be tahar. Chalak l'shleisha, if you split it into three pieces, echad gadol kishnayim, and one of the three pieces is as big as the other two, and in fact slightly bigger than the other two put together, which means that this one piece represents the majority of that which was the original oven, and therefore hagadol tomei, the larger half, is still tomei, it's considered to be like the original oven, or shnayim haktanim tahirim, whereas the two smaller parts are tahar because they lose the status of being a kli since they've been broken and they are not the majority of the original oven. And this can be shown in the diagram as well as the case in the second half of the previous Mishnah where the oven was placed on top of the pit. There's also a diagram for that which has been sent out.